So we're going through the book of Jonah. And God gave Jonah a mission. And Jonah tried to decline the mission. Jonah didn't want to do the mission. But I don't think that's an option. When you're dealing with the Lord, He has a plan. We can try and try and try again to ignore the plan. But God is in perfect and complete control. He will not let Jonah or any of us sort of make that plan. In chapter 1, we saw Jonah trying to run away from God. In chapter 2, we saw Jonah running smack into God. And here in Jonah chapter 3, we're going to see Jonah running with God. So just remember, while Jonah is about missions, it is not the main focus of the story. Nor is it about missions in the way that most of us think. To discover what the lesson might be, we need to look at the story as a whole so that we can discover the lesson that God has. We learn that Jonah was a popular prophet in Israel. It was a good time for Israel. We saw that the only problem during this time was that Israel had a rival country off to the east. This rival was Assyria, and the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. Nineveh was a very wicked city, and God asked Jonah to go preach to it. And throughout the history of the Bible, normally when you go preach against the wicked city, you're probably normally happy to do that because most of the time God is going to destroy that city. You would think Jonah would have been overjoyed. But instead, he went the opposite direction to Tarshish. And we'll find out probably in chapter 4 exactly why that was. But for some reason, he ran. He didn't want to deal with it. Jonah would rather have died than go preach to Nineveh. As it turned out, the sailors threw Jonah overboard, certain that Jonah would die. Did Jonah get his wish? Did he die? We learn from the last verse in chapter 1 that he did not. He was swallowed by a fish and left there for 3 days and three nights. So again, chapter 2 contains the prayer of Jonah. And while on the surface appears to be quite spiritual, I think it was more in fact selfish and shallow. Rather than repent and turn to God, Jonah focused on his own self-righteous needs and looked with disdainful judgment upon the heathen Gentiles. We wanted Jonah to repent, but he did not. And yet God continued to protect Jonah and let him live. And so we get the idea that God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson. He's trying to teach him something. But again, the story doesn't tell us yet, quite yet. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying..." And I believe there's a very important lesson here in verse 1. As Christians, God asks us a lot of times to do things. It may be things that we don't want to do. It may be things that we didn't quite hear him right. Oh, I misinterpreted that. And I think we're no different than Jonah, and we head the other direction. Storms of life may come, but more often than not, God allows us just to continue down the path away from obedience. But in every Christian's life, I think there's a time in life when, like Jonah, we want to return to God. We want to worship Him. We want to get back to that relationship with Him. And maybe we realize that God is not really at work in our lives anymore, so we start praying for God to work in us. But I don't believe God ever allows us to go to step 2 before we fulfill the first thing, to get back in obedience, to create that relationship again. Look at Jonah. He didn't say, okay, well, let's ignore Nineveh and let's move on to the next thing. God's plan was for him to go to Nineveh. And even though he saved him, even though he brought him back, he still wanted him to fulfill that. Many times in our Christian life, we want to be used by God. We want to be used in a situation. We want to hear the voice of God, but we're not doing the easy stuff to have the relationship. We're not in the Word of God. We're not in church on Sunday morning. We're not in church on Wednesday night. We're not praying. We're not fellowshipping with other believers. I look at obedience with God sort of like running hurdles. If you just run through the hurdles, you're disqualified. We've got to jump over those hurdles. And every time we knock one down, I think we got to go back and jump that hurdle again. Whatever it is in our life, whatever struggles we're going through, like Jonah, we're going to still have to go through that situation. I don't think we can ignore the word of God. In chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." This is pretty much the same thing as verse 1:1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." He leaves out the wickedness in this part, and he just says, go preach unto it. Remember that God gave us the idea that God was maybe going to destroy the city. Normally in Old Testament times, God destroyed sinful nations. And here God simply tells Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh the message he will give him. And I believe this is significant because it is intended to prepare the reader for that surprise ending. I'm sure all of us know the story of Jonah, and next week we'll get into chapter 4. But I believe Jonah knew that God was not going to destroy that city. He was too gracious. He was too merciful. And Jonah didn't want to have that on him. What would the people think of him? This isn't fair. These people are evil. They're wicked. And Jonah, for some reason, in his human flesh, thought he had the right to decide who could turn to the Lord and who couldn't. But yes, throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, cities were destroyed. And I think that's one reason that Jonah didn't want to go. He knew that God was not going to destroy that city. If he knew that it was going to be destroyed, he would have went right up there and said, hey, this is what's happening. But he was scared that God would be gracious and merciful the way he has been on our lives. You can see in Jonah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah went to Nineveh, and he proclaimed the message that God gave him. I believe this is the shortest gospel, the shortest message ever. I don't think he had any desire in his heart to preach this. And he walked in and said, hey, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Walked out. That was pretty much it. I don't know how you ever lead somebody to turn away from their wicked ways. And I look at this in our life. Many times we're scared to share the gospel. We may butcher it. We may do it wrong. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the Holy Spirit's conviction. Jonah walked in and said, hey, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. And that was enough for the people. We don't know all the details, but it was a very short message because Jonah didn't even want to go. He shared more to the sailors on the boat. He told the sailors at least that it was the Lord, and the Lord in all caps means Yahweh. He spoke to the sailors. He shared with the sailors. He cared for the sailors. And here he just goes in and says, 40 more days and you're all going to die. And again, I think it goes back to Jonah's heart. He thought by giving them the bare message, they would be destroyed. If I don't tell them the whole thing, they'll be destroyed. The sailors knew only a little and they responded. What will the people of Nineveh do with even less? The word overthrow here, it says Nineveh shall be overthrown. And another way to translate it is overturned. You know, in Jonah's mind, it was intended to be destroyed or annihilated. But you can look at this word in a couple different texts in a couple different ways. But another prominent way it can be used in Scripture is the meaning of to be turned, as in to be turned from their ways or to become something new. It's used in Psalms 105, and it says, God turned the hearts of the Egyptians. In Psalm 66, it says, God turned the sea into dry land. Deuteronomy, it says, God turned Balaam's curse into a blessing. In Jeremiah, it says, sadness into joy. So again, the whole time, Jonah's ideal was for them to be destroyed. It's the only fair thing to do when they're so wicked and they're evil. But in God's mind, it was to be turned from their wicked way, to come back to him. You know, Jonah was hoping and he was thinking that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. But there is another possibility for them to turn from their wicked ways. You can see in Jonah 3, 5 through 9, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and them the violence that is in their minds. Who could tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? The Ninevites believed God. Probably the worst message that anybody could give. Jonah sharing this message to the Ninevites. And they believed. Whatever your message is, speaking is better than not. I'm sure everybody sees with Facebook now, they do all these live videos and live footages, and all these realtors say, hey, come look at my house. Hey, come look at my house. Or they share this video or that video. And the biggest thing going around is a video on Facebook is better advertising than nothing. And again, it gets people's attention. You could do a horrible job of sharing. You could do a horrible job of preaching the message. You can do a horrible job of whatever it is. But you speaking or sharing that gospel is more important than not saying anything at all. Jonah intended this message for no good at all. He was hoping it would be destroyed. He was hoping the Ninevites would be done. For some reason, in his heart, he didn't think it was fair for them to know the gospel. And we may do that ourselves. It may be our enemy. It may not be somebody we like. It may be somebody that we just say, oh, I don't have time for them. Whatever it is, you are holding back. You are holding something back from them that we only know. They may have never heard the gospel. They may have been in church all their life. But that doesn't mean they've heard the gospel. So the king here calls for a national repentance. He wants all people to fast and pray. And the repentance here is genuine. It's not just a yes, we're sorry for what we have done. But it is a call for them to give up their evil ways and turn from their violence. That genuine repentance is to change one's way of living. You know, the Ninevites, their hope is that God will change his mind. That God will repent for what he said, that he was going to bring this anger or this wickedness upon them. And when the leader of a nation repents before God and calls everyone to repent as well, it's a serious revival. This king here was leading in such a way. We can even see that Jonah did not even give them the courtesy of knowing who was going to destroy them. He did not call out to the Lord as the way he shared to the sailors in chapter 1. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. God can see man's heart. God can see the life that you live. God saw, in fact, that they were genuinely repentant. They were more than just sorry. They turned from their sin. So God responded and did not do what he had threatened. And this could be a very long debate, and we're not going to get into it very much. You know, God changed his mind. In my quick opinion, I don't believe God changed his mind. He knew what was going to happen. God knew that he was going to make Jonah go one way or the other. God knew that the Ninevites would eventually turn back to him. God knew what was going to happen. He didn't have to change his mind, but he did want to overthrow this situation. The other thing as I was studying is that it seems that the prophecy of Go that he would destroy Nineveh did not come true. But as we saw it before, it did come true if we understand the word overturn, as to turn from their ways rather than to destroy. And Nineveh was not destroyed. But the other point is that prophecy did eventually come true. Today, there is no city of Nineveh. God overturned Nineveh twice. He did it in a way that no one expected here by turning them from their sin. But just as human nature is, it was not long before they returned to their wicked ways. And about 100 years later, a prophet by the name of Nahum arose in Israel, and he too pronounced judgment upon Nineveh. This time, Nineveh did not turn to God in repentance. And so God destroyed Nineveh in 612 BC. Jonah's prophecy did eventually come true. It was not the way Jonah wanted it to happen. You know, I believe God wants all people. He desires all people to come to a saving knowledge of his Son. That says that in Timothy. He wants us all to understand. He wants us all to share the gospel. He wants us all to tell the world. He wanted the whole wicked city of Nineveh to repent. God caused 120,000 Ninevites to repent so that he could work on something else completely. And I believe we'll see a lot more of that in chapter 4. We get a lot of the questions answered of the book of Jonah in Jonah chapter 4. Just a quick teaser, as Richard always does it, in verse 4:1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah was so angry. Jonah was so mad at God. He couldn't believe he would even do this. Is there ever a time that you believe somebody doesn't deserve the love of Christ? Is there somebody that you just feel like, oh, I can't believe that person would even... They've lived this lifestyle. They've done this. They're terrible. I can't believe this. I can't believe God would even extend his grace and mercy to that person. And that's what Jonah is doing here. In Jonah, in chapter 3 here, we haven't heard much about Jonah, but we have learned a lot about God. We learn that he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in love and patience. But there comes a time, as it did here for Nineveh, that God says, I have been patient enough. In Sunday school, we've been going through the book of Revelation and talking a lot about the rapture. And right now we are in the age of grace. We have 2,000 years that we've been in this age of grace. And eventually God's going to say, I've had enough. I've been gracious enough. I've been merciful enough. I'm done. And the rapture will occur and he will bring in the wrath of God. But the question is, what are we doing with that as we are in this time? Are you sharing the gospel when you have the opportunities? Are you telling others? Do you believe people don't deserve it? Is there something you're struggling with? What are the reasons that we don't tell others about Jesus Christ? Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, it says, and Jonah began to enter into a city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I believe that's all Jonah said. I don't believe he had any more message than that. It's very simple to share the gospel. You go up to somebody and say, hey, do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that Christ died for your sins and that he rose again? Even if that's all you get out, they heard the gospel. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. Why do we keep this to ourselves? Why are we like Jonah? Do you feel like you're like Jonah? How about we go out and share the gospel? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you for Jonah's life, that we can apply it to ourselves and realize that we are holding the opportunity back from others, that we are holding the gospel for ourselves. Even if we butcher the whole gospel, even if we mess it all up, even if we don't know what we're saying, don't know what verses to share, they're going to hear more by us just sharing than us not at all. You can use that. You can use the Holy Spirit's conviction and the guidance and change that heart. The message has nothing to do with it. It's the conviction that comes with it is what will lead a person to a saving knowledge of your Son. I just pray that each and every one of us here, including myself, will find an opportunity to share the gospel this week. One time, two times, seven times, just tell the world what your Son did on the cross of Calvary. We don't know when the rapture will come. We don't know when the wrath of God will come, that tribulation period. But as of right now, we still have time. We have an opportunity. And I just pray that each and every one of us will take that opportunity and share it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.